Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to my podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at the blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I usually upload to the blog once a week. I've been consistent lately. Sometimes I have gaps, but made it last week, made the week before that. So once a week, try to get that to you. And then also, the most efficient way to get the show is by going into the iTunes search engine and entering Warman Kickfighting Show. Show pops right up. You can also enter Lord Gaul, and the show will pop up. Lord Gaul was my username back when I fell in love with the sport. And I was on the kickboxing forums, kickboxing and Muay Thai. So K1 fans, Kakatugi, K1 USA, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to go ahead and get into it. Got a lot of results today. There's some fun stuff that, you know, some news and notes stuff that kind of got picked up. For example, the I'm going to go ahead and let them wait for the results. I'll just say what I saw of it was pretty decent, but it was pretty cool to see the Idris Elba thing because, you know, he's older. You know, he's 44 years old. It's not like he decided that he wanted to go try kickboxing out when he was in his, you know, late 30s, you know, mid 20s, anytime other than when you turn that corner and you're in your 40s is a great time to start. But he went out there and he showed some pretty good talent in the video that I saw. You know, clearly he looked like an older guy performing, but the low kick came and the punches came clean. He doesn't have that, you know, that pop that you would imagine from a younger guy, but shout out to him for going out there and doing it. So I think that's a cool thing to start on because I'm starting to notice a very big change, if you will, in what's going on in the Muay Thai landscape. We're starting to reach a little bit. We've always been niche. Clearly always been a niche sport. Something that a select group of people in the world are going to notice, pay attention to, and so on. But we're starting to be a little bit different. We're starting to reach out to different groups, and clearly it's still huge in England in general. Muay Thai is really, really big in England in general. But, man, it's pretty cool to see that so many athletes are out there falling in love with the sport. And then, of course, there's this idea that, you know, you've got to move on to MMA. That's a big thing right now because MMA's got the exposure. And because they got the stars and they've got the highest paid money that you can make as a martial artist, I would say. The goal is anytime you see somebody that's great at one of these other disciplines, whether it's jiu-jitsu or you know, boxing or Muay Thai, people wonder what would it look like if these athletes put in the work to learn the other skills and go into MMA because they kind of see it as the ultimate. But they're sports in and of themselves. You know, grappling is of itself. Boxing, of course, is of itself. And then huge shout out to the Muay Thai community because we've just hung on for so long. And it's been really, really cool to see how many people, how many new stars emerge, how many things are birthed from the kickboxing sport, and how many people are committed to it despite the fact that, you know, some of the other disciplines get more coverage. I like that Idris Elba fell in love with the sport, gave it a shot. I remember I heard rumors of it because he showed up at some of the Muay Thai events early in the year, and I remember Iman Barlow, she posted a pic where she was with him, but I really do want to see us get that kind of exposure and just grow the brand of kickboxing and Muay Thai. So really good that he did this. And even cooler was the fact that he did it and the person who posted the video for everybody to get a visual of it, because it's a TV show, so it's not supposed to be, you know, recorded. But Madonna went to go watch Idris fight, and she was the one that recorded and put the video online that everybody else is kind of going off of. So for a star like Idris Elba, who, you know, of course is you know, household name in England and very popular here in the States, to be pushed by Madonna, who's a household name all over the world, for them to focus on this guy went into a combat sport and this was the combat sport, I really think it's great for the sport. So shout out there. And then a real quick one before I get into the results. Gaston Bolanos signed a contract to go with, and it makes sense, you know, because Kevin Ross is already there, but he's going to be with Bellator Kickboxing. The key is for him to keep getting opponents like he did last time. They've got to push his brand, and he's a very talented guy, and I want to see him fight elite people in the world, but I don't want him to go against, you know, so far the Bellator company has not presented the best of opposition for their mainstay champions, so we'll see what happens as they move forward, but definitely excited to see that he's getting another opportunity to continue growing and making money as a prize fighter. It's gone from lion fight into a kickboxing. He's got great stuff for kickboxing, so it should be a lot of fun. I'm excited to see more of him down the road. Let's go ahead and get into our wide world of results. We're going to go ahead and start off with K1 World Grand Prix Euro 95 kgs. The result of that happened. First of all, it needs to be noted that when I did this show, I picked Fabio Quasi to win of the people who I saw on the tournament field. Then an injury removed a guy who I was like, it's so funny because I brought his name up. I was like, man, you know, he's I pick him to do even better if he hadn't just won the week before, having the slightest of mental lapse for whatever reason. But it was announced that Roman Kriklia was the replacement to come into this tournament field. And when I saw that Kriklia was in the field, first thing I posted on Twitter the moment I saw it was, that's not fair. The person who I have winning the tournament now would be Roman Kriklia. I would have picked him without hesitation. He would have been the guy that I went with once I saw that kickboxing world had, you know, changed to kind of make him, I won't say the guy, but it changed to make him the replacement. He became the best fighter in that field. So I would have put him where he was to meet Fabio Quasi and lose to Fabio Quasi. But I really thought that it was Quasi's tournament until he came in. So the fact that Quasi lost in the final made sense to me because those were the two best guys. But I'll go ahead and walk you through the tournament field, just kind of give you guys a good idea. First of all, Roman Kriklia gets it started right away. Gets first round KO over Buridin Mamik. And it's just, once you see that, you've kind of got a good idea of, all right, that's where things are going. This kid is that level of talent. He's very, very good. Get another stoppage by Atha Kasapis. Gets a victory over Andre Grassi. And then we've got Fabio Quasi gets 3-round decision over Mladen Kujinčić. And then Rod Opacic, he beats Emmanuel Payet. I thought Emmanuel Payet was going to win that one, but the decision went to Opacic. We move on to the semifinal round where Roman Kriklia gets a 3rd-round KO over Atha Kasapis. And Fabio Quasi gets a 3rd-round decision over Rod Opacic. When I see that everything is going according to plan, there's one difference between the two. One guy seems to be stopping his opponents. The other guy seems to be getting decisions, which is the kind of thing that you would expect. So when you go into that last round, somebody's been working way harder than the other. That is why tournaments are so special. That's why it's so cool when you get a fighter to get those early stoppages. It's a strategy to it. There's an attrition part to it. There's a reason why kickboxing tournaments are so prestigious in our sport, because it's hard. Some people say the best person doesn't always go through, but there's some game planning to this. There is some, you know, luck of the draw comes into play. Sometimes you have situations like Gita and Saki, where Gita chose Saki, and if I remember correctly, we still had Semi Schultz sitting in the number one spot when he came up. So it was either Gita chose Saki or Saki chose Gita, but I think it was Gita chose Saki. But they matched each other up, and they had one of the great kickboxing fights of all time. Just great back and forth. In particular, for the heavyweight division, it was a special fight. And then after an extra round, it went Gokhan Saki's way. But he had took the wear of that into round two, and then that meant he had to go against a very strong, in shape, ready to go, unharmed, you know, even though he went 3 rounds before, very healthy, Alistair Overeem, very, very skilled. So once that came into play and that fight came up, it's all about, you know, who moves on from here on out. Like, what's the future who moves on to the next round and competes to the best of their ability? Saki shows up an injured man, and Alistair Overeem's able to take him out with pretty much just a body kick. Like, Saki's winning the round with one leg, and as soon as he gets kicked, that's it. So it's just crazy kind of how that goes. You move on, flash forward to what we had this night. Kriklia knew he was against better, knew he was a superior fighter, and he did his best to get those guys out of there. But he had a little bit of resistance from Atha, who got it to at least the 3rd round. But he went in there much fresher than Fabio Quasi. And Quasi is a good fighter, but I wouldn't say he's got the KO-type pop, like consistently against high-level guys. Whereas Roman Kriklia, I can see that translating over to, if he fights in glory, that power is going to stay. So he's a very, very skilled guy. So I'm excited to see more of him down the road as he gets the KO victory over Quasi. He's just a skilled guy. He's probably the best young prospect in this game. And it's interesting to see. You know, it's interesting to see the future of the sport. As I mentioned before, despite the fact that, you know, MMA is hot right now, and boxing, of course, especially in Europe, there's some guys making a lot of money, making waves, big audiences are coming out. We still continue to produce kickboxing stars, and we just got to get behind these guys and push them. So shout out to Kriklia. That's a big time win. I was very, very happy when I saw that, you know, he got that win. Going to go ahead and move on to some more results. I'm going to go ahead and save glory for last. I'm going to do last night's results of the Kunlun event that went down in Hubei, China. A lot of good stuff. There was a women's tournament. They completed the field for their 71 or 70 kgs tournament, men's tournament field. Go ahead, jump right into it. First, I will say the women. We had tournament quarterfinals matches. We have Leticia Montagnier of France as she gets a victory over Candice Mitchell. Wasn't able to see that fight. But the next one was Anissa Hadoy as she gets a victory over Marissa Pires. I am familiar with Anissa Hadoy. I've mentioned her before. She's on my top 15 list. Have you guys seen that? The one that I did for liverkick.com. And I'm going to do it again. There should be another posting of that maybe later in this week, kind of an update. I've just been busy. So I'll do one then, and then I'll do another one in 2 months. And this has got the skill. I mean, she's got good kickboxing IQ. She can blend her hands to kicks very well, like a lot of the other Dutch fighters. Stays in the pocket. She's skilled, and she's young, very young. Anytime you get somebody early 20s, late teens, you know that you're looking for, you've got someone that could be around for quite some time. So I'm definitely excited that she got this win. She's got the look. She's got the skill. Very nice girl. I met her when one of my fighters fought Melanie Hegges, and she came out with Melanie, and she ended up cornering her in the fight. So it was really, really cool to see her. And then we contacted on Facebook a couple times. I don't know if she knows I'm the person that wrote that story on her. But Anissa Hadoy, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, is very, very talented. Someone to watch for sure. Another fight I'm going to mention is Wang Kihan. Before we go to Wang Kihan, she of course is someone that I've always been real high on, and I've mentioned before in this podcast. But before I go into Wang Kihan, let's go ahead and talk about Julia Werner getting from Brazil getting a victory over Diana Zerbroskaya of Russia. TKO stoppage there. Always good when the women get a turn, get a stoppage. But that seems to round out their 61.5 kg tournament for that part of it, but it finishes. Those are the first three fights. It finishes with Wang Kihan getting a first-round KO stoppage over Karina Papachiasanthou of Greece. And Karina had no chance. Wang Kihan is a special, special fighter. She came out, you know, dancing. Some guys are in her you know, the way that it's funny. The way that she presents herself and sells herself as an athlete is something else. Like, she knows what she's doing. She's a gifted, skilled, you know, woman who, the left hook is for real. She's probably got the best left hook I've seen since Erica Kamimura, who, you know, put in work until she, you know, lost to the sport, not in death, but we lost her in activity to the sport because she came upon illness. I can't remember the date of that. But she got an illness, and she was still able to train here and there, but she wouldn't be able to fight anymore. But she had all the potential. We're talking about somebody who had to stop fighting at 21, but, you know, burst on the scene at 17. Erica had the most legit left hook, and she won the S1 Girls Cup. Very, very skilled. And since her, I had not seen anybody with a left hook like that until Wang Kihan. Wang can crack. And to give you a good idea of this, and I've mentioned it before, Jemima Betrain has great KO pop for the, you know, the women's division. And Wang Kihan almost knocked out Jemima Betrain. Like, she dropped her. You could say she dropped her twice, but the refs missed one. But she was clearly in bad shape. But then she had one of the better comebacks in women's kickboxing history. She bit down, won the next two rounds to get it to an extra, and then won the extra. So shout out there. But go ahead, move back to the star of focus. Wang Kihan, the entrance. The showmanship, like, she just understands it. She could be a good star to push for down the road. They're giving her activity. She's getting the opportunities to compete. Kunlun, continue to push and develop this young fighter and just get her out there more and more. Kunlun is in desperate need of, they should try to get themselves on a fight pass, because they put so many you know, shows out. If they get that deal, it gives them at least more exposure for people to check out their product. Who cares that it happens in the middle of the night? They are trying to grow the options for how to make money or how to, won't say necessarily how to make money, but they're trying to grow the, well, of course, try how to make money, but they're trying to grow the value of getting the Fight Pass. And, you know, this, adding MMA shows, adding kickboxing shows, that helps grow the interest of people who will get it, because really they just think of it for the UFC library. But Kunlun would have a really good home there if they can get a deal like that, or maybe Access TV. Those would be good places for them to go to really start to build some, you know, get people to know some of their stars a little bit better. Now, again, it's China, time differences, language barrier. I know it's a hard sell, but I really think that they should consider it, because she's one of the stars that they should push, and they do such a good job of getting international opposition opportunities on TV that they should just continue to look to get that brand out there on more platforms than just the streams that we end up fighting on Facebook and so on. So Facebook, YouTube, websites, wherever it is, those streams are not enough to get the brand out there. We want more. Going to talk about a couple more fights on the card, not the whole card. Let me see. I will talk about the Zenias Zuev's victory over Jabir Askarov. I thought that it was warranted to go that extra round. I thought that there were some competitive moments in both. I thought Jabir Askarov did a good job of getting his low kick work going early in the first round, and then Zuev was able to take advantage of Askarov, you know, pretty much going to a Muay Thai type guard where he put one leg up while he was on the ropes, kind of played the knee guard up, kind of held it in the air, and then he had one hand at the head and he extended the other arm out. It's kind of a defensive thing, but if there's one thing that I tell my fighters, if you do that kind of block or any kind of block, visit it, don't live there. And he stayed there for a long period of time, and Zuev just kept punching. He threw like, you know, 6, 7, 8 shots, you know, combinations, while, you know, Askarov is just kind of sitting there behind, you know, this kind of, you know, Thai style defensive shell. And he sat there and he just let the other, you know, let the scorecards get closer in a round that he started off really well in. And then I would say that was the story of the fight. Askarov would have moments where he'd land the big hands here and there and some combination of low kick. But Zuev would land those straight punches and combinations, get a little bit of movement here and there. He kicked some, not to the level of Askarov, but I thought it was good back and forth. And then round three was some entertaining stuff. Zuev is able to drop Askarov with a counter, puts him down. Askarov gets up, tries to get back into it, really threw heat through the final bell. There was good exchanges, but Zenias Zuev gets the victory there. He's a talented dude. I thought this was a good fight to keep him moving. It just shows how talented, you know, Yotsen class, because he fought both of these guys and pretty much, you know, handled both of them. It just shows that these next up-and-coming guys, they're still opposition that they can go against and they can compete against, and they can get good work, get paid, and move well. But there are still some elites that are, like, guys that you got to consider, how am I going to get past? And Yotsen Klai is one of those guys. Both of these guys put on a great show against each other. Now they've got to groom themselves to try to figure out how to beat the Bukaus of the world. Good stuff there. Yuchihiro Nakashima, Jinutsu from Japan, fights to a draw against Tian Zhen. Always a little bit, you know, disappointing to get a draw, but I thought this was warranted. It even went to an extra round, if I remember correctly. And then, of course, I will wrap the show up on, and he's actually a pretty solid fighter, just didn't go his way today. Cedric Monhoff, if there's anybody I feel in the last year, and I'd say a couple names, I'd also go ahead and throw Adesanya in this list, but guys who really took advantage, and I mean really took advantage, of fighting in China and the opportunities they bring to get exposure and to build your fight record. I think Cedric Monhoff is one of the main guys to do that at 70 kgs. He goes in there against Wu Shusong and he gets a decision victory. He drops him in the third. He has a series where he does a jumping knee and he puts a hand flurry after it. That scores him the down in the third. And I really thought that, you know, despite the fact that I think Wu Shusong is a good, talented fighter who just needs more opportunities, this is the kind of fight he needs. You got to go against the Cedric Monhoffs of the world if you're ever going to beat the, you know, Morakagorians of the world. Like, you got to keep building that base, you know. And excuse me, I should go Sitichai. Sitichai is the guy at the top of the mountain. Wu Shusong, this is a good development fight for you. More things will come. I do think that he's got some good gifts. But Cedric Monhoff, I just think he's done a great job this year. Just a great job of staying active. Last 2 years, I'd even say. He's taken to China very, very well. Hopefully he keeps it moving, and then it turns into something bigger for him down the road. But the biggest thing is activity, pushing yourselves, getting yourself out there, and competing against the best in the world. And sometimes, in order to compete against the best in the world, you got to beat some C-class, B-class guys before you can mess with the A-class guys. Now, what I mean by that is A-class in terms of elite, not in terms of A-class. A-class, of course, in Europe just means you're fighting the best pros in the world. It doesn't mean that you're representative of the best talent in the world. A-side, as far as what I'm referring to, is when I look at the Tyrone Spongs of the world, you know, in their prime, Gokhan Sakis, at some period of time, Rico Verhaeven had to beat those kind of guys. But before he could beat those kind of guys, he had to beat Darryl Zimmermans. You know, solid fighters who are, you know, steady, hard workers who have good combination flow. But you got to beat those guys. And he was able to do it. And now he's the king of kickboxing in the heavyweight division. Cedric Menhoff, he's in that spot where he's beating those middle kind of guys. Now he's going to have to, whether it's through Infusion or whoever, he's got to look for the fights that he can win and push his career forward. As it stands right now, not quite there. So we shall see. We're going to go ahead and not quite there in terms of going against those elite guys, but right there in terms of beating the guys he needs to be beating. Definitely good stuff. So let's go ahead and move on to the final card I'm going to talk about, the Glory card. And, of course, Glory, always known to have good stuff throughout. I won't do the entire card. I'll start off with Richard Abraham getting a unanimous decision over Mike Mathetha, if I remember, I'm corrected wrong. I can't remember if it was Mathetha, but Richard Abraham just kind of did his thing. There were some inconsistencies, as far as the action. It didn't flow as well as I would have liked, but, you know, Abraham always has his he's got that pop. So when he scores, it people notice it. Whether it's a KO or not, people pay attention when this guy starts throwing hands. So Richard Abraham definitely able to get another win. He's doing a great job of beating the certain level of guys that he's gotten in Glory right now. And that's who he should be beating. You know, he's fighting the right kind of opposition. Now, get enough of those guys, gets a step fight up. Now, I know he asked for Nicky Holtzkin. You know, Nicky's the best, and I'm sure he's thinking, I can crack. I just got to get one opportunity to get a hold of this guy, and, you know, it just takes just one. You know, we've seen it in kickboxing many times. But I think that he should work on developing himself as a kickboxer, and when your moment comes, you're ready for it. But shout out to Richard Abraham. Good victory, moves forward. Thansai Sitsang Pingnong gets a victory over Casey Green. You know, I had wondered if Green would be able to win this because he's a stronger guy. I thought Thansai was going to, you know, be able to outpoint him, but I thought that there was a chance that Casey Green could land the kind of shots to get him a victory on the cards just because sometimes he, you know, goes a little bit wild and so on. But as far as technique and skill goes, Thansai clearly by a long way, not even close. Then the fight happened. Turns out the fight wasn't even close. Thansai more superior at this stage. Maybe ever. It'll be tough for Casey Green to ever catch a guy like Thansai because he's only been doing this forever. Casey Green was, you know, when he was in high school running around, Thansai was fighting the best Thais in the world. So now an older guy who is, you know, again, bigger than his weight class as he fights up. Not a lot of guys who fight around 77 kgs in Thailand. You don't really see that a lot. So Thansai is just kind of going after this older in his life. But he can still find his location on shots. He had Casey Green hurt a lot. There was a really strange moment where Casey Green got buzzed and he did a really weird looking dance, which kind of shows the sneaky power that Thansai had. And then in a fight that clearly should have been stopped, the commission dude is on the apron saying Green has had enough. He's waving the towel, and I think he was doing it for the corner. I think the corner stopped it, and he grabbed the towel to wave it off on behalf of them and the ref. Again, it's just, I'm telling you, there's nothing that makes it look worse for them than when they don't move with assertiveness. Because in the end, you've got guys' lives on the line in there. And this ref just kind of stood there, unsure of what to do, didn't even look in the corner's direction as if they could possibly stop the fight. And then they kind of come back to each other after a down, and then Thansai just cleans Casey Green out with a big-time hook. It's just one of those things where it's like, I'm going to have to write on it to kind of give people a good idea. I've stayed quiet, and, you know, I gave them their moment, like, earlier this year where a couple of judges and, refs made their argument for, you know, why they made some of the decisions that they made and so on. This is a situation where if you're going to be, you know, wrong, just be fast, you know? So, like, if you've got a guy who's hurt and you're not sure, be fast about it. You got a guy you think you can continue, be fast about getting out of the way so you can make that decision. You got to feel like you know what you look like you're doing in there. And it's not that you don't know it. I'm not saying that these guys don't know what to do. But when they don't move with assertiveness, when they don't move with confidence, it makes us think, you know, what's going through their mind? Or who did they leave these live guys in there with where they don't move with confidence? And that's huge. You got to have – I forget the gentleman's name in boxing. He's got the really big eyes. And as soon as I seen this guy, I was like, okay, we've got to – he is in on the action. He's got this really strange look. And he's paying attention to every single moment that's going on in there. That's what we need. We got to have somebody who's like in on the action. Do I want to stop it? Do I want to stop it? We need to see on their face that they're paying attention to the fight that much. We didn't get that in this fight. So what we got was a really cool KO by Thong Chai. But at the same time, Casey Green should have been protected better. And the corner was trying to do it. The commission was trying to do it. The refs just got to be more assertive there. Got to be more assertive there. Okay, guys' lives are on the line. Next fight. Saulo Cavallari takes on Brian Doze. This is clear. Beat down from jump. Just Saulo Cavallari, just more skilled. Brian Doze, no combination in the low kick flow, single shots here and there. Saulo Cavallari, clean with the boxing, clean whenever he did let the hard leg kick drop. He's just a talented guy, but it builds on the fact that he had that time off. You know, he lost to Artem Vakhachev, who's a very skilled guy. No shame there. You know, they'll meet again down the road. But this is how you got to do it. So, Saulo Cavallari, who was the champion, didn't fight, you know, what I would say is the strongest era of, you know, to win it. I thought Zach Wakasa is a really, really, he's not the most talented guy yet, but he's got the athleticism and the KO pop. So I really, really like him. Saulo Cavallari didn't fight in the best, you know, performance when he went against that guy because of the KO pop he brings. So Cavallari needs to get to where Vakhachev is, where you're so confident in your defense and your offense, you still let it go despite the fact that you've got a killer in front of you. But if you shut down because the killer's there, then it keeps you from getting up on the scorecards. I really thought that Saulo Cavallari is developing all the time and just more opposition needed. I wouldn't mind if he fought in Brazil here and there. Just keep fighting. I hope he's not waiting on glory to call every single time as if that's the only brand I'll fight for. Keep building your skill set. Robin Van Roosmalen wins by, you know, TKO. They stop it in the corner over Gabriel Varga. I thought Robin would win because I thought that his combination and low kick flow would carry the day because he's used to doing against bigger, stronger opposition. But Varga was just outmatched from jump. I think Varga had some moments early where he was getting into his combination game, you know, trying to get the kick, the low kicks and move. But Robin Van Roosmalen said that he was just trying to find his power when he did that early. Like, that was the big thing. He was just trying to figure out, like, okay, how is Wybin Fida's power? Excuse me. Let me clean that up. I believe that he was trying to test Varga's ability to hurt him early. So he went ahead, walked in there, took a couple shots while he looked for his normal work. And once he realized that he wasn't a threat to get hurt by anything, it was time to go to work. Big time hooks over the top, big time low kicks. You know, big time offense walking him down, got him in trouble. He dropped Varga. And then after Varga went down, you know, Varga is, you know, again, trying to come back, trying to stay in a fight. Nobody better ever to challenge Gabriel Varga's toughness because this kid went down several times. Went down to a combination that had big shots upstairs into the liver. He just kept going down, excuse me, but he kept getting up. And he kept fighting back at this, too. Now, it wasn't like he went like a minute and a half without throwing a punch back. Varga would look for an opportunity to throw, but he just was just outmatched, bigger, you know, bigger, stronger guy, not taller guy, but stronger guy in particular for that weight class. Came out there, put on a clinic. Robin Van Roosmalen, your featherweight title holder. He's not in my top five in the world at that weight class as of yet. I need more resume, and of course, you guys know how I feel about the glories, you know, featherweight division at this time. I believe that K1 has the better wealth of talent as it stands right now. But there's still a lot of fun fights that I want to see Robin Roosmalen in. I would love it if all of a sudden it was announced that, hey, Robin Roosmalen is going against Mosafa Morani in the Germany card. tears to my eyes, wonderful, you know? I want to see him compete. Now, again, he's relocated in the States full-time, so he might not go again until, I think they were saying that he was going to do it in the L.A. card in January. I like that they're planning in that way, that they're already looking to get him back in there. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Robin Van Roosmalen. I have been following him intently because when I first seen him, I actually watched him fight live. You know, I was there when he fought at the Amsterdam Arena. He's a talented kid. And this was before he lost to Muhammad Kamal, but then later, I only believe in the same year, won the Showtime tournament and knocked out Artur Kashchenko. Talented dude. Really does have a lot of skill. So I want to see him fight as much as I can. If I got Robin Van Roosmalen in a kickboxing bout five times in 1 year, that's a winning year. So I want him to keep pushing it. He's a very, very talented dude. We go into the main card where we have a middleweight tournament. First of all, it needs to be said, Israel Adesanya, who, you know, I picked to win the tournament. Well, a lot of people picked to win the tournament. Very skilled guy. Showed me all the tools, but he showed me something else. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. First, Yusri Bulgaro, excuse me, Bogoru, that's how they are pronouncing it on the broadcast, defeats Ariel Machado. Close fight. And shout out to Yusri, he found a second win when he got into the next round of the fight. But man, Yusri used his distance. Machado close, you know, got in close, threw some combinations and so on. Bulgari had some moments where he was able to use his length, you know, big tall guy, 6'5", or whatever he is. I thought that both guys landed good offense. I thought that there was going to be an extra round because it was pretty close. But they decided that they had a unanimous decision winner after three. And, you know, again, got to be careful with fighting in Denver, you know, because that elevation got to a lot of guys on this card. They admitted it later. But, man, Yusri Abelgaro goes on after a very close fight where you weren't sure who was going to win it. He gets the W and moves on. He meets Israel Adesanya, who was... really, you know, he plays with both stance. He plays with tricky offense, plays with counters, plays with head movements. Robert Thomas never got into his offensive flow all fight, and it's tough with a guy like, you know, Israel Adesanya, who's giving you something different to hit every single moment. When somebody switches stance a lot, the offensive advantage it gives you is it makes the other person wonder what they're going to do when they step in there. It makes them think, how am I going to proceed? How am I going to be offensively effective here? As opposed to they see you in the normal stance and they go, this is what my game plan was for 10 months. You know, this is what my game plan was for 10 weeks. This is what my game plan was for 3 weeks, 4 days. At least they knew what they were getting into before they got in there with you. So when a guy switches like that and you've got a game plan for both, you could just be starting to get your rhythm in one stance. And the next thing you know, he sits in the other stance longer than you want. That is the offensive advantage that you have as the fighter who's switching stances, because the other person isn't throwing offense at you, which gives you more opportunities to find your flow, find your rhythm, let your hands go. You look at what happened in this fight. I thought that, you know, if anything, Adesanya was kind of playing it, you know, taking it easy, finding his moments, landing great offense, you know, good head movement, very, very, very skilled guy. And then all of a sudden, sneaky head kick comes up, bang, Robert Thomas goes down. Thomas was able to get up, get out of, you know, make it, you know, into the next round, or excuse me, make it to the end of the fight. But I'm telling you, just Adesanya in control, very calm, letting his hands go, switching stance, sneaky head kick. He's a talented dude. Like he's just, he had, if I remember correctly, he also dropped him with a knee to the body. I can't remember what round it was, but it was all Israel's Adesanya, and he showed a lot of the tools in his first one. Next fight, we get Simon Marcus. He defeats Dustin Jacoby. Dustin Jacoby came out doing a little bit different. Came out kickboxing. Didn't look for the KO shot. Picked his shots. Moved. Looked for, you know, didn't play with a lot of, you know, heavy combination and kick game. But he played with, you know, a single shot, low kick. You know, 3-2 hard here and there. Found his offense. But he didn't go looking for the KO, which is the mistake he made when they fought before. Simon Marcus did go looking for the KO. Bit down on the mouthpiece, walked him down. He ran into a lot of offense because he was looking for his own. And he was scoring, but he was kind of clubbing from the outside. So he was like, you know, hitting, you know, arms and shoulders and wasn't able to land clean all the time. But he was still getting offense in here and there. Simon Marcus, who's been doing the tie kick for a very, very long time, blast one in good. And you could see it. They showed it in the replay. It bust, broke Dustin Jacoby's arm. Jacoby was able to get through the round. He's sitting there in a stool, and he said it right away. Like, he's like, it's my arm. My arm's broken. I think he knew it immediately. The adrenaline carried him through the round, but when you sit down and you're already dealing with the pain, you sit down and you start to move it a little bit, you realize this is it for you. So Simon Marcus gets another victory, and it's too bad because Jacoby was starting to get some good offense in there, and he's going to keep getting opportunities. He's going to keep getting opportunities to kickbox at the highest level. Glory likes him, so no matter what his win-loss record is, they're going to use Jacoby because he brings those KOs. He brings that style. Even though I'd like him to do more kickboxing like he did early with Alex Pereira and like he did here. So we'll see what happens to him moving forward. Israel Adesanya then gets a victory in the next bout over Yushri Bulgaro. It was close. The cleaner, more effective shots went to Adesanya. I thought he moved well. I just think he's a skilled guy. Like he showed every tool. But my favorite, and it was a split decision because he really did slow down in that third round. But, man, credit due to Adesanya for digging deep, making it happen. Credit due to Yusri, who this is their second time fighting this year. He performed better than he did in their first bout earlier in China. And Adesanya said that he didn't feel like he fought well in their first fight earlier in China. So, two victories 1 year over the same guy. Adesanya, very skilled. Somebody mentioned it before, and I agree with them. Kashinko's had a better run than him or Nicky Holtzkin in the last couple of years, you know, as far as what they've done in China, as far as those, you know, Israel Adesanya and China. And Holtzkin's beaten a lot of these, Kashinko's beaten a lot of the elite guys too. But they're all close enough in weight where you could possibly see some of those matchups either now or down the road. They're some talented guys. And this was a big win for Israel. But the big thing for me was when he got on the mic, man. Like, that guy can really sell himself. Like, he can really... he got on. I think he said something about, you know, the world would be a better place if people in Denver treated, you know, the world treated itself like people in Denver treated me. He talked about the different things as far as what's going on in the fight world, you know, as far as his competition, as far as the elevation getting to him. And it was interesting. So definitely wish him all the best. He's the star we need right now because that kid can fight and he was selling himself the moment he got the mic. We go to the next fight. Nicky Holtzkin once again defeats Mirtha Grunhart, third time in a row. This time, a little bit different in tactics. It's almost like the fight reverse. Nicky Holtzkin came out and fought the way that he, if anybody thought Mirtha Grunhart, you know I'm one of them, thought that he outpointed the, you know, very savvy, very skilled, but, you know, didn't have the KO pop in both of their first two fights was Mirtha Grunhart. But he had the points. He had the pecking away movement, score, score, move, score, score, move. He played with that. Nicky Holtzkin was the one that sat on the big-time combos, big-time shots. He sat on the power. This fight, Holtzkin came out, established the low kick good and early, had Mirtha Grunhart hurt good and early because he was eating that inside leg up. Nicky Holtzkin is just, he's all business. That dude can freaking fight. And Mirtha Grunhart was able to, you know, despite looking like he's going to get stopped after the second round with low kicks, came out. You know, stood strong, had still lost the third round. And then rounds four and five, it's like, because he's been training in states for this, you know, this whole camp, I want to say. He starts letting them go. Like, he starts letting big hands go, big combination, jumping knee. And Nicky Holtzkin is visibly affected by the elevation. His offensive output goes down significantly. Mirtha Grunhart easily wins the last two rounds. So when it goes to the cards, everybody's wondering, how did they score the first round? Because to me, that would be the decider. I thought two and three were really clear for Holtzkin. I thought four and five were really clear for Mirtha Grunhart. So shout out to Nicky Holtzkin, who did enough in round one, which was the round that I had him winning, to get this victory and a move forward. Both guys decided that they didn't want to fight. We'll see. Mirtha Grunhart's going to clearly want to fight for the title again. But both guys decided they didn't want to fight anymore. They wanted to give other guys opportunities. That's Nicky Holtzkin kind of confirmed that in an interview afterwards. Mentioned, you know, wanting to fight Cedric Dombe, saying that, you know, other young fighters have got to get this chance. It's what you want. You want your champion to compete a lot. And it's looking like, if I saw it correctly, he might be on that Germany card. I could have saw it wrong. But I love Nicky Holtzkin. He's what the sport needs. Considered the best in the world as it stands right now. And again, that argument can be made. Kashinko is out there. Fight can still happen. Maybe they find a catch weight to do it. But Kashinko's got a victory over him. And in the last 2 years, Kashinko's got an awesome resume too. So I want to see those guys go at it. But shout out to Nicky Holtzkin for, you know, doing a great job once again of and still, which is one of the hardest things to do in combat sports. go ahead and wrap this show up with the news that I'm going to go ahead and the reason why I didn't do that Badr Hari highlight is because I saw that Kickboxing Planet did a Badr Hari highlight already. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into a series where I do, kickboxing documentaries about the stories behind certain fights. So I might wait this one out. Now, if a lot of you guys start tweeting me, say, please make the highlight, please make the highlight. If I get a lot of those in the next 2 days, I'll just do it on like Tuesday or something like that, because the theme that I was going to do is much different than how Kickboxing Planet did theirs. But I'm grateful to everybody who listened to this podcast. Thank you so much. I'll have another episode for you. I'm going to do another one on Friday. That way I can, continue to, I might have a little bit fun with that one. Might not do many results. I might return to the summer series because I did the notes for certain topics, but I didn't get around to those episodes. So we'll have fun in the next one. So thanks everybody for listening. God bless and be safe. Peace.